Last month, President Bush approved the spending of a lot of money for the study of something very small. $3.7 billion will be spent over 4 years to research nanotechnology, engineering at the atomic scale. Moving individual atoms around has been possible since the mid-1980s. You might remember a famous picture of the letters IBM spelled out with atoms.
But nanotechnology is maturing, as is the hype. There are books heralding it as the next industrial revolution, even one on nanotechnology and homeland security. NPR's David Kestenbaum reports that there is debate over what exactly nanotechnology is and what it will achieve.
In Greek, the word nano means little old man or dwarf. Scientifically speaking, a nanometer is a billionth of a meter. To get a sense for this, consider Ralph Merkel. He's a professor of computer science at Georgia Tech. His arm is about a meter long.
Now take 1,000 times smaller than that, and that's a millimeter. And a millimeter is pretty small, but you can still see it.
About the size of an ant. Go 1,000 times smaller than an ant, and you're the size of a red blood cell.
You can see it with a light microscope, but it's getting down there.
1,000 times smaller than a red blood cell is a nanometer, slightly larger than an atom. In other words,
real small.
Rock bottom.
Nanotechnology is the ultimate manufacturing technology. Manufactured products are made from atoms, and the properties of those products depend on how those atoms are arranged. For example, if you rearrange the atoms in coal, you get diamond. If you rearrange the atoms in sand and add a pinch of impurities, you get computer chips. Nanotechnology is going to let us arrange the fundamental building blocks of matter, and that's going to usher in a revolution in manufacturing.
Take nanotubes, discovered in the early 1990s. They're small straws, a few nanometers across, made of carbon. Atomically, they resemble rolled-up chicken wire, but they're hundreds of times stronger than steel by weight. Potentially very useful. But from here, Merkel pushes into what some scientists call fantasy. He imagines atoms organized into tiny machines, small robots, nanobots that can themselves build anything, atom by atom, like perfect solar panels to solve the world's energy crisis. Or nanobots could run around in your bloodstream, curing disease.
Right now, one of the major problems in dealing with cancer is that the cancer cells are very similar to the other cells in the body, so it's hard to single them out. If you had a small device, which had a small onboard computer and had a number of sensors so it could sense the level of various chemicals and proteins, then it could use that complex analysis to determine whether or not it was looking at a cancer cell, and if indeed it was in a cancer cell, it could then remove that cancer cell.
But if nanobots can build anything, then they can build other nanobots. That's reproduction, and nanobots could be considered another form of life. Michael Crichton, in his new novel Prey, envisions swarms of nanobots that evolve and kill humans. Richard Smalley is a Nobel Prize-winning chemist who discovered those tiny nanotubes. He has been publicly making the case that nanobots are impossible.
What the fantasy is in nanobots is you can radio on down to them and tell them to build yourself a spaceship. But it can't work. It can't do the chemistry.
Inevitably, he says, you'd end up reinventing something that works like a living cell. But that's far more complicated than anything humans have ever made, and cells are limited in what they can do.
In fact, the chemistry that's available in living cells is actually pretty restricted, and it's restricted because there's water around. And so you can't make everything biologically. You can't make a copper wire. You can't make steel. You can't make crystalline silicon. In fact, the list of things you can't make pretty much reads like a list of modern technology.
Smalley wrote recently to a colleague of Merkel's, quote, "There will be no such monster as the self-replicating mechanical nanobot of your dreams." Even so, the nanotechnology community is worried that this vision will scare people. Partly as a preemptive strike, it has organized discussions on nanoethics. So where is nanotechnology now? At a recent nanotech conference in Virginia, scientists sat around eating boxed lunches. No one talked about nanobots. They did talk about making super strong materials, smaller transistors, and things like chemical catalysts for the oil industry. Most projects were in the very early stages. Yes, you can make something like a transistor out of a single molecule, but no one is quite sure how to go about wiring up billions of them. One idea seemed to unite these researchers, and that is that by making the jump to the atomic scale, the quantum scale, the rules of physics change, and all kinds of strange things become possible. Stephen Campbell is director of the Nanofabrication Center at the University of Minnesota.
Let me give you an example. If you throw a ball against a wall, you expect it to bounce back into your hand. In a quantum world, sometimes it'll go right through the wall. When things are big, it can't happen. The probability is vanishingly small.
Computer hard drives, for instance, are smaller these days, in part because they use a technology that harnesses weird quantum effects. But the term nanotechnology is being applied broadly these days. Eddie Bauer, for instance, is selling stain-resistant nano pants, pants coated with nanometer-sized whiskers. There's no new fundamental science here, just invisibly small fibers. So what qualifies as nanotechnology? When asked, many scientists at the conference all began their responses with a long pause. And it's a tough call. If nanotechnology covers anything on the atomic scale, then today's computer chips all count as nanotechnology. And chemists would argue they have been doing nanotechnology for a century, making specific molecules by design. Andy Kessler is a former electrical engineer and a former venture capitalist. He has seen business presentations by numerous nano companies, and he recommends caution.
I think the label has been applied to a few too many things. I mean, it reminds me of the superconductivity business years ago, or the artificial intelligence business, where hundreds of millions of dollars were flushed away chasing those things.
Consumer Reports recently tested Eddie Bauer's nano pants. It didn't weigh in on whether they were a triumph of nanotechnology. The pants do resist some stains, but it cautioned, don't expect miracles. David Kestenbaum, NPR News, Washington.